Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucciola ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Troy Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Got a good program lined up for you. The great Darren Pang is going to join us at 10:30. We're going to talk to some Maryville coaches throughout the program. Martin will be here at 11. We are at Old Hickory Golf Course. This is one of the most beautiful courses in St. Louis, one of the most difficult courses in St. Louis. Really challenging, really beautiful, great food. It's a great place to be, and we're here because of the Maryville University Golf Tournament. We have so much to discuss today, and we're going to take text throughout, and our opening monologue is brought to you by our good friends at Worldwide Technology Raceway, and let's begin with lap one. You know, instead of making this a monologue, let's make it a dialogue with the texters. I want your most memorable moments of the parade, your three or four most memorable moments watching the parade. I'm sure many of you were there in person. I'll give you mine, but yours will probably be better anyway. O'Reilly with the hat and carrying the trophy to the people. Likewise for Alex Petrangelo. Just giving St. Louis fans a chance to actually touch Lord Stanley's Cup. I didn't touch it. I don't ever want to touch it. I don't deserve it. But it was cool for so many of the fans to touch it. Bob Plager with his daughter, Melissa, the smile that never stopped, milking it all in 52 years later. Just imagine what it was like for Bob Plager. Of all the people there. Brett Hull was pretty happy too, though. How about Braden Shen? Spring everybody, including me. He was having a great time. He may have nailed more people. Right before we went on, I had him there for about 40 seconds, and Mike Bush is talking, and then they sent it to me. But while we are waiting, I say, hey, look, why don't you, before you open that bottle, because he'd already opened like three bottles and sprayed everybody, hold it just 1 second, and then we'll talk for a second, and then you can spray everybody. So we do the interview, and he opens it up, and then he sprays, but he sprayed me instead of everybody else.
He misunderstood.
That's right. No, I don't think he did. He wanted to get me. A championship parade allows just grown men to act like kids. And I just loved every moment of it. Or could it have been Jordan Binnington dropping the F-bomb?
How does this feel?
You want to see some emotion? We're Stanley Cup champions, baby!
That was sensational. All right, lap two. Worldwide Technology Raceway opening monologue. I've had some people text and tweet taking exception to me saying a parade unites a city. Some have suggested because the parade isn't diverse enough, well, nobody really gets united. And I guess there's an element of truth in that. I mean, it's not like when we woke up on Sunday, we were, you know, a better city with no problems. But when I made the tweet, I was just trying to emphasize just how good-willed people were at that parade and how everybody was just loving it. They lived and died this, you know, through 52 years. All that heartache and all those losses. It was just so wonderful seeing everybody happy and nice and so thrilled. I mean, I don't want to get political here, but this is better than like a candidate winning, you know, an election. Just think about this for a second. When somebody wins and everybody's celebrating, you have all that, well, half the people don't like it. What does this in life? A sports team is the only thing that does that in life. Let's just say someone announced that they were going to bring their world headquarters to St. Louis. Well, that's great, but you're not going to have a parade over it. This thing affected a half a million, maybe a million people on Saturday. If a politician wins a race, half the population is ticked off. If a new business comes to town, a million people aren't celebrating. Only sports can do that. That's what made this so special. Do we still have a lot of problems? Yeah. But how about waking up today and thinking, our town is the best hockey town in the world right now. We have a world champion, a Stanley Cup champion here in St. Louis. It's amazing. All right, lap three. The Blues moving forward. Interesting. The two free agents, Carl Gunnarsson and Pat Maroon, also happen to be the authors of two of the most important goals in Blues history.
Blues have the puck. Thomas off the wall. Shoots, and it's in. They score! It's the St. Louisan, Pat Maroon. Bring out the Zamboni. Pat Maroon just put the city on his shoulders, and he sends them to the conference finals. A 2-1 win in double overtime over the Dallas Stars.
Came back along to Gunnarsson once more. They've got Sundquist set up at the opposite circle. Across to Gunnarsson, a shot, he scores! The Blues win it in overtime and have evened the series.
You know, I can remember when the Pistons won the title, the Bad Boys had to cut ties like the day after the parade, or maybe even the day of the parade with Rick Mahorn. The Blues are going to be more tactful, but they have a lot of talent in the system, and they are cheaper. Jordan Kyrou is going to play somewhere, isn't he? And Zach Sanford is maybe on the verge of being a star. My guess is Maroon will get an offer. He's a blood and guts guy, had the goal, really had a fine end to the regular season. He got to double-digit goals. Gunnarsson is a nice player, too. Decisions, decisions. The Berube contract is going to be less suspenseful, but it should be interesting. Will he play hard? Will he try to, like, squeeze out some more money from the Blues, who have to pay him? Or will he just say, you know what, 3 years, $3 million a year, it's a whole lot of money, a lot more than I'm making now. Where do I sign? And before we end this Blues segment of the opening monologue, let's hear from Ryan O'Reilly on Saturday.
I was saying this earlier during the parade, though. I said this is a city of amazing hockey fans, amazingly nice people, and amazing drinkers as well. They can handle their stuff. It's awesome. I love it.
That's good.
Yeah, there's something to be proud of.
Yeah. Well, the Blues players look like they could handle it, too.
They're still going.
Yeah. Many of them are in Las Vegas now. How about, like, from, let's see, it was Obi Clark's, and then it was the Wheelhouse, and it was, like, nonstop. Somebody told me a few of the players were there from, like, 4 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night at Obi Clark's.
I believe it. I'm curious. There has to be 2 Stanley Cups around town. As much as I've seen it, it was like in so many places. It was amazing.
All right, your favorite moment from the parade, give us a text at your convenience. Lap 4. The Cardinals had the makings of a disastrous road trip, but they finished 5-5. 3 out of 4, 5 out of 7. And much of it is thanks to Paul DeJong yesterday in New York.
And DeJong with a fly ball out to left. It's at the wall. He's done it again. Incredible. Paul DeJong has homered again against the Mets.
I was talking to your dad during the game, and I said, is this as good as it gets for Father's Day watching your son play baseball? And he said, well, it's shaping up that way. We'll see how the game goes. You hit the home run. He put his arms in the air. You can look up there and see him. How special is this for you?
Pretty cool to have him here. You know, he's been my biggest supporter since day one. So just happy to put on a show for my fans here and, you know, get the win for the team.
You know, I said earlier in the season that DeJong has a chance to become the second best Cardinal shortstop post-World War II after Ozzie Smith. and gotten a lot of backlash on that. And I know there have been some really good ones. Edgar Renteria was really special to begin with. And I know that DeJong slumped a little. Guy's got 13 home runs. He may hit 30, and he's playing a really steady shortstop. I believe that DeJong and Wong have turned the most double plays. He's so young and so early in his career. I mean, if you got a shortstop hitting 30 home runs and playing a slick defensive position, boy, I think he's got a chance here. Now, I do know the offense has got to get better, much better. And it starts with Paul Goldschmidt. Got to be a force. The 13 homers are nice, but the droughts in between those homers, the droughts in between doubles, just can't go on. He's got to be a more consistent offensive player. And I think it's legitimate to ask this question, or maybe it's a two-part question. When will Matt Carpenter be a force? Will Matt Carpenter be a force again? This is a bad stretch here. Still hitting 218. And oh, by the way, Dakota Hudson has gone from a guy who some thought could have been moved from the rotation at one point this season to the most reliable starter on the team. You know what he does? All he does is give you quality starts. Yesterday wasn't razor sharp, but he gives you a quality start. He's their best pitcher right now. All right, lap five. Worldwide Technology Raceway opening monologue. Quick NBA thought. You know what the biggest story nationally was over the weekend. The Blues wrapped it up on Wednesday. So over the weekend, the biggest story in sports is the Lakers are going to get Anthony Davis. It's costly. Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, draft picks, including number four this year, and two other first-round picks. Do you know what? They have to do it. LeBron and that group would never win a thing. LeBron and Davis could win it all. I mean, there was a time last season, if you were ranking players, at least early, before they both started getting hurt, you would say that a healthy LeBron and a healthy Davis were two of the top five players in the world. You should be able to win a world championship with two of the top five players in the world, especially with what's going on with the rest of the league. The Warriors won't have KD or Klay likely playing next season for them. KD will be gone and can't play, and Klay will stay, but he probably can't play after the ACL. So the Warriors are not winning a world championship with that group, I don't think. Can LeBron and Anthony Davis beat the Denver Nuggets? I think so. Can they beat Toronto even if Kawhi stays? I think so. You know, people have been waiting for a long time for the Lakers to be back. But I think we can legitimately say right now, the Lakers in the present landscape in the NBA are world championship contenders. All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. Gary Woodland is your U.S. Open champion.
Got it! A major champion, Gary Woodland, has won the U.S. Open.
Do you ever allow yourself to dream this big?
No, I didn't. And, you know, it was special. I never let myself get ahead, and I never really thought the tournament was over, so... Once that went in, it all kind of came out of me. It was special, to finish it off here at Pebble Beach.
You know what I like best about Gary Woodland? There's a couple things. First of all, he may be the nicest guy on the tour. And those of us who covered the PGA Championship last year got to know him. And I know, he can't root for a Kansas guy. He's the pride of Topeka. But he's just a wonderful guy. Everybody likes him. He's waited a long time, 35 years old. But the best part about Gary Woodland is we live in this era of specialization where these parents tell kids at 12 years old, well, you can't play basketball and baseball. You can't play golf and soccer. You can't play football and hockey. No, you specialize, and you're going to do that sport 12 months a year, and you don't even think about doing anything else, and you don't have a social life, and you just program yourself to be this particular athlete. Gary Woodland played on back-to-back state basketball champions in Topeka. Gary Woodland went to Washburn to play college basketball. Gary Woodland was like an 87 or 88% free throw shooter. And then he transferred to Kansas to play golf, and now this is what happens. See, my contention is, even if you prefer one sport, if you play two, that other sport makes you better. in the sport you may end up specializing in. It just, plus, doing something 12 months a year, exercising the same, you know, muscle group, not healthy, especially when you're like 10 or 11. So parents, learn from this. Have your kids play all the sports they want, and maybe cut it down to two or three when they're about 14, 15, 16. But don't deprive your kid of a chance of playing other sports. Another thought. Went to Springfield, Illinois on Friday night to see Lionel Richie in concert. Monique made me do it because I basically haven't seen her in 63 days. But it was worth it. It really was. 69 years old, and the guy's voice. You know, I've seen all these guys at the end of their careers, like Tony Bennett, Sinatra. They were all – it was tough. This guy, it sounds like he's 39. He had four different really splashy sport coats, played to the crowd. Girls were going crazy. And, you know, I thought to myself, what the heck is Lionel Richie playing in Springfield, Illinois for if you're worth $200 million? Why would you do that, you know? Don't you enjoy life? You know why? The guy loves his craft. He wants to sing. And to have, you know, maybe 9,000-10,000 people just screaming for you, pretty good high. He was awesome. One other thought from the parade. We have a reporter by the name of Abby Larico. And she was kind of close to where I was stationed because we couldn't go off TVU. We had to go off the truck because there was too many cell phones. And, like, right in the middle of this thing, she just gets the crowd going by going back and forth and, like, dancing. It's like I'm looking at Casey Nolan, like, how the heck can she do this? You know, I can barely walk and talk. And she's, like, dancing and singing and everybody's going crazy. It was the most jaw-dropping thing of the parade for me. It was spectacular. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. Most memorable part of the parade. Do sports unite a city? What free agents stay or go? Is Dakota Hudson your best pitcher? Are you concerned about Matt Carpenter? With Paul DeJong, are you with me here that he could end up being the best shortstop since Ozzy in Cardinal history post-World War II? Not there yet. He's got to prove it a little bit longer, but he may hit 30 home runs. And are the Los Angeles Lakers back? Jim, you watched the parade. What was the most jaw-dropping thing for you?
Well, the neatest thing was just seeing the players, hey, we're getting out of whatever we're riding on, and we're going to go meet the fans, say hi to the fans. I mean, that's incredible. I don't think we would have seen too many baseball/football players make that move in a parade. The other thing, which was a little scary, was watching Jordan Binnington ride a mini bike. I was like, ah, he's been drinking. I don't necessarily know we want him on a mini bike. And there he goes around in a circle. And that one was a little alarming. But just everyone, every time that thing goes up in the air, everybody cheers. Is there any other piece of anything in the world where you just hold this above your head and everybody goes crazy?
I don't think you could do that with an NBA World Championship trophy.
No.
Or a World Series trophy.
No, that's the only piece of equipment, object in the world that you throw that thing above your head and everybody just goes crazy.
Brian, are you on mic, and what jumped out at you, young man?
I also watched it from the house. I would say my favorite moment probably was before the parade when I saw a video on social media of a very inebriated Brett Hall strutting down the St. Louis downtown streets at like 3 a.m, smoking a cig, basking in the glory that has been the Blue Stanley Cup run. I think that video, with people already lined up on Market Street saving their spots again at 3 a.m, I think that was probably my favorite moment of the weekend. And then also just the players, a close second, players hopping off the floats in the cars to hang out with the fans is pretty cool.
Somebody just texted in, well done, David Lee. Was he a part of the parade? I didn't see. What was that about?
No, I didn't see him either.
Okay. Now, John Hamm was there, right?
Yeah, he spoke.
Yeah, he was there.
David Lee got married over the weekend to Carolyn Wozniacki. That's why. Congrats,
well,
David Lee.
Yes. How about the combined net worths of those two?
Yeah, that's not bad.
All right, I think they can afford to send their kid to Chaminade, maybe. We will take a short time out. We're broadcasting live from the Maryville University Golf Tournament. We're going to hear from Pat Evers, the baseball coach. We'll hear from Mark Stricker, the basketball coach. This is a great event here at Old Hickory, but when we come back, we're going to be joined by the one and only Darren Pang.